lift your hands and give Him praise. Thank Him. He is faithful. I said He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Praise the lovely name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe with all of my heart, with the way the Lord is moving, what was said in Sunday school, the songs that were sung, that God is working in unity, wanting to speak to our hearts and our lives today. There's so many times that we get so discombobulated with life and with circumstances that are happening to us that we have a hard time listening to God. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes life gets us so discombobulated. How many knows what that means? It's so discombobulated. If you live in Arkansas or Oklahoma, you should know what that means. But we get so out of focus and so many things that are happening in our life that we have a hard time and we struggle to even hear what God is saying. But I appreciate the presence of the Lord. Brother Cody was telling me after Sunday school, he said, it's so amazing how God works. He said, what Chris is teaching and what I've been teaching correlates. And the message this morning to the last song that we just sung, sometimes we just got to be like, have the audacity of a pit bulldog and grab a hold and hang on till the storm's over. I know we don't like it. I know it's not the most comfortable thing for us to do. I know it's not the most convenient thing for us to do, and we sure don't like it. But sometimes we just got to grab a hold and hang on with everything that we got. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going back to the Old Testament again at the book of Hosea at chapter 6. I don't want you to think just because the word come out of the Old Testament doesn't mean it's not relevant for us today, because Jesus didn't come to destroy the Word but fulfill it. And it's just as real today as it was when it was written 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. It's just as relevant today as it ever has been. So if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God in Hosea chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. I want the title of my message today, listen, there's coming a day. Look at your neighbor and say, there is coming a day that God will bring restoration to you. God will bring restoration to you. God will fulfill His promise to you. There's coming a day. Verse 1, come and let us reason, come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn and He hath healed us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. And on the third day, He will raise us up. What does that sound like? The resurrection of Jesus. And we shall live, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know that if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is preparing as the morning. And He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain, on the earth. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God has a blessing for you. God has a restoration time for you. And perhaps we feel like, as we talked about in Sunday school class this morning, we just don't have the patience and we want it to hurry up. And when God don't answer, we want to intervene and we want to take up where God, we push God away and we want to take on where God should have, we feel like. But God is sovereign and He knows what's best. I said, God is sovereign and He knows what's best. Amos chapter 9, verses 14, 15 says this, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. I'm going to be on the topic and the thought of how God has restored His people Israel. And I may repeat this again here in just a little bit, but I don't want you to be confused, because just because He is the God of the Jews does not mean He's not the God of the Gentiles. Because we have often heard it said that as goes Israel, so goes the church. As so goes God's people, so of the Jews, so goes God's people, the Christians that are saved and bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me explain to you very explicitly that just because He is the King of the Jews does not mean He has forsaken us, because we have been grafted in and bought in by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we are grafted into that same vine. He is the husbandry of that vineyard, and we have been grafted in to that same vine. I'm not preaching to you replacement theology today, which is a big deal going around, that He has forgotten the Jews and taken the Gentiles and that Jews don't matter anymore. No siree. I am not into replacement theology. But I tell you today that just as real as God is to the Jews, He is that real to you and I today that have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He sees the blood that has been applied to our hearts, and He knows that we are His children, and we are just as much to receive the blessings of God as so is Israel. I will bring again to captivity. I feel in my spirit, in my heart today, some of you feel like you have been in captivity. You feel like you have been struggling. You feel like you are almost behind bars, whether it is in your physical, whether it's in spiritual, whether it's in your mind. You feel like you have been struggling, but God is promising you that there's coming a day. There's coming a day that He is going to restore. He's going to restore to you what the enemy has stolen. And most importantly of all, not only is He going to restore those things, but He is going to restore the relationship that you've had with Jesus Christ, or even much more and greater than what you've ever experienced with Him. There are some 21 verses of Scripture that refers to restoration in the Scriptures. From Deuteronomy chapter 30 to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. As hard as we are on ourselves, and as far as we have strayed at times, and the mercy and the love of God lacks no restraint to those who desire His love. Did you hear me? To the love of God, it don't matter how far you've traveled, it doesn't matter how distant you've come from God, there is no restraint to those who desire the love of God. He is there and He is faithful. God has promised that He would restore unequivocal everything that the enemy has taken from us, that the enemy has stripped from us. Even if we have been guilty of those things and we have turned our back, or we have forfeited our relationship willingly, the God that I serve desires to bring you back into the fold, to love you and to care for you, and to restore what the enemy has stolen. There's several books in the Bible God has promised to restore what the enemy has taken from you, and also He will bring restoration to your relationship between you and Him. How much greater can it be that we have the relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is God and He is sitting on His throne today, and His Son is at the right hand that He might make intercession for you. He is faithful, child of God. He sees where you're hurting. He knows where you're failing, and He still loves you and He still cares. He's there to pick you up. He's there in the middle of the night to know when you're scared. He knows when you're afraid. He knows when you're dismayed. He cares and He loves you, and He wants to come to your rescue. In Jeremiah chapter 31, it gives us a beautiful picture of God bringing Israel back to the full fellowship with Him. You can only really grab the concept of that when you see all the things that Israel has done, and they're coming to God and backsliding, coming to God and backsliding. And God would tell them to do one thing and they'd do the opposite, and they'd reach out to foreign gods and all the mess that they was in. But Jeremiah chapter 31, and Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, it shows us a beautiful picture of God bringing Israel back to full fellowship with Him and restoring their losses. Not only their stuff, but their identity.
identity. I want you to understand that today. Not only will He restore to you the stuff that the enemy has taken from you, not only will He restore your relationship with Him, but He wants to give you back your identity to help you to realize that you're a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're not amening me like I'm preaching to you today, church. I'm telling you that God sees a hurting people, even in our church world today. He knows exactly where you're at. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen. He wants to restore the relationship. He wants to restore your identity. You don't even know who you are anymore because you've hurt and the enemy has stolen that. But God wants to restore your identity with Him. The enemy loves to destroy your identity. If he can make you forget who you are or where you come from, if you say, I don't want to remember where I come from. Hey, let me tell you what. The mercy and grace of God can reach farther down than you can reach up. Doesn't matter where you come from, it's where you are today. But remember that those things that He has brought you from, the mercy and the grace of God can not only save you from them, but He can keep you from them. So many times, the mercy and the grace of God comes to us and pulls us up out of the horrible pit. And we get around people that don't believe and they want to be sarcastic, and we may trip and fall a little bit, and we may not stay on the right and the straight and narrow very long and we fall a little bit, and that encourager comes along and say, well, you might as well just forget it, give up and go back to what you've been doing. And it's easy to go back for where you've been, but it's not as easy to go forward. But the mercy and grace of God will give you the strength to go forward and not go backwards. Remember where He has brought you from. The Word of God tells us, remember where He has brought you from. Hey, I'm not necessarily talking about backsliding this morning. There's times we get so discouraged we have to look up just to see the dirt. There's times that we get so discouraged we don't know which way is up and down. But I'm here to tell you today that the God that I'm proclaiming to you today is just as real right now as He was to the children of Israel. Beautiful picture that is told us of the fellowship, bringing Israel back into full fellowship and restoring what they lost. Not only their stuff, but their identity. And the enemy wants to take away your identity. He wants you to help you to forget and make you to forget where you come from. And he wants to make you to feel like you're unworthy to receive God's favor. Look at your neighbor and say, God's favor is mine. He wants you to not to be successful in keeping the things of God. He wants to keep you depressed. He wants to keep you withdrawn. Listen to me, church. Listen to me closely. This is the enemy's tactics. He wants to keep you depressed. He wants to keep you withdrawn. He wants to keep you down on yourself and down on the world. He wants you to wallow in your self-pity and keep everyone at arm's distance and be angry with each other and be angry with yourself and be angry with the world. But I want you to know today, you don't have to be afraid to reach out to Jesus, because He is the lover of your soul. He cares about you. He wants to reignite you into His favor and to bring you to a place of love with Him. Hallelujah. I said this a while ago, but I want to say it again. Israel's story is a story of restoration, but at the same time, we've been given that same grace and salvation offered to the Jews. I want you to know something even greater. The Word even declares to us that the angels in heaven desire to see what you and I have got. The angels in heaven, hey, the angels in heaven desire to experience what you and I experience. The angels in heaven say, well, I hope they don't experience this stuff that I'm going through. Hey, the night is far spent, but there's joy that's coming in the morning. Can I tell you, you just got to hang on. Brother Chris, that's absolutely the perfect song for this message. You just got to hang on. You're going to have to get some audacity and tell the devil to get behind remind you he is a liar, because the God that I serve is bigger than any devil that can come out of the pits of hell. The God that I serve is well able to restore. The God that I serve is going to give me my identity back. I am a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm fixing to get out of this world. Jeremiah chapter 31, I'm fixing to get into the meat of things, okay? Stay with me, hang on. Jeremiah chapter 31, at the same time saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel that shall be my people? Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. You can put your name in that passage of Scripture. It can be you that you can insert your name in that passage of Scripture, because God has given you the same grace. God has come to give you the same rest. God has come to speak and minister to you and bring you to a place of restoration. I want you to know, you may feel like today you have been in the battlefield, you've been ravaged by the enemy, but he has come. Jesus Christ, I said, has come to give you rest. He has come not only to give you rest, but he's come to secure your borders. To him that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm here to tell you today, church, you have no need to hang your head. You can lift up your head toward heaven, because your redemption draweth nigh. You don't have no need to look down at your feet all the time, because you are a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, when this passage of Scripture was written over 2,500 years ago, the blood had not been applied, but the prophet had seen through the clouds of time what was fixing to come forth and what was fixing to go be restored. But I'm telling you today, church, come on, somebody preach with me today. I said, I'm telling you today that the mercy and the grace of God has reached down through the days and the hours and the years of time to bring you His mercy and His grace by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord hath appeared, verse number 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yes, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn to thee. Thy loving kindness. Listen, some of you, this is exactly what some of you need this morning. Are you with me? Listen. Again, I will build thee. That means it's been tore up. Hello? Your life's been tore up. It's been messed up. But he said, thou shalt be built. He's going to reconstruct you. He's going to reconstruct you. Listen, O virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy timbrels. That is little drums. You remember, I wished I still had some. We got the boys some when they was littler. Those little drums that you take and you rub between your hands, and it had little deals in it. I mean, it just drove the parents crazy. How many remembers those? Some of you ain't going to admit it, but we're there. It was little drums. And he said, you will be adorned with those timbrets, and shall go forth in the dance of them that make merry. Are you hearing me today, church? That sorrow and that heaviness that you've been experiencing, he's going to rebuild you again, and he's going to fashion you in his might and his strength. But I want to stop here just a minute to focus on those four words, O virgin of Israel. Can I tell you that Israel, by this particular time, was long ways from being a virgin? Hear me. I told you a while ago, they had committed adultery. I don't know how many times God had spoke to them about their fornication. So they was a long way from being a virgin, right? Are you with me? They had some issues. They had some problems. But here's where the mercy and the grace of God fits in. mercy and grace of God said, "Oh, virgin Israel." He called them a virgin. You know why? Because He was going to do it all over again. He's going to make them brand new. He's going to restore to them their past would never be remembered anymore. He was going to give them, are you ready for this? He's going to give them a new beginning. I said He's going to give them a brand new beginning. No more. No more is He going to remember what they was or where they come from. But He's going to give them a brand. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost all over me today, church. Because God's speaking to your heart. The enemy has stolen what God desires for you to have. He's going to restore you and give you a brand new beginning. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His love and His care is for the asking. He has declared that He can and He will care for us. He has explicitly told us, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's just not something to tickle your ears by. He really means that. God don't say what he don't mean. He says what He means and means what He says. He classified Israel as a virgin. He's in the context. He's going to give them a brand new beginning. Israel had all kinds of issues with foreign gods, little g. And it's only through God that makes the way possible and makes it come to pass. And He said, "I will create within us and around us. He will give you a fresh new start." He's going to create. He gives Saul, King Saul, He gave him a brand new heart. And it was him that it was his desire, whether he kept that heart or not. It's your desire. And if you keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ, He will give you the strength to be an overcomer. Verse number 6, "For this shall be the day that the watchman upon the mount of Ephraim shall cry, Arise, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God." Let us go up to Zion, the Lord our God. It is from the mountain that overlooked Jerusalem. That is what the prophet Jeremiah is talking about. That is called to the return to the temple worship. It is return to worship. Oh, would to God that we would come into His house with thanksgiving, to His courts with praise. If we would be more interested in what God is doing right now than we are, what we're going to do after a while. Can I say it again? Wouldn't it be great if we would come into His house and be more thankful and be more conscientious of what God's doing right now instead of what we got to do after a while or we want to do after a while? If we would come into His house, in this particular passage of Scripture, the reference of Zion is talking about coming to the holies of holies. Can I describe to you that from the portals of glory there is a call for you to return to worship? I'm talking right now from the portals of glory to come to worship. Christ Himself declared in the New Testament as well that they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we would get in one mind and one accord like they was on the day of Pentecost, there ain't no telling what would happen around here. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, just as Jeremiah received the call to go back to Jerusalem, go back to the holies of holies, go back to the Temple Mount to worship the Lord 2,500 years ago, just as much as He was calling them. Today, God is speaking from His pulpit. God is speaking from His songs. God is speaking from His teachers to come back to the oracles of worship, that I might lift up His name and that I might praise Him and that I might worship Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Verse number 7 of the 31st chapter. "For thus saith the Lord, Sing in gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel." I'll take you back for just a second. When Jacob was running from his brother, how many remembers Jacob running from his brother Esau? Why? Because he had stolen the birthright or purchased the birthright. But he had stole his blessing. He was running from his brother and had reached a place where he couldn't go on any farther. Separated his family in case they got up with one. He'd still have half of the other, or half of his family. And he cried out to God, and he found him a rock to make an altar, and he began to cry out to God and said, God, I can't take it no more. The Bible doesn't tell us everything that he talked to God about, but he did tell God. He said, God, I cannot leave this place until you bless me. I cannot leave this place until you bless me. And I found it so interesting, and perhaps you have as well, when God asked Jacob, he said, what's your name? And I declare to you today that it wasn't for God's information that he was going to write down Jacob's name, because he already knew his identity. Hey, listen to me. God knows your identity. He wants to convince you of who you are. You know why Jacob had to tell the Heavenly Father what his name was? My name's Jacob. He said, well, it was Jacob, but I'm going to change it to Israel, because you're going to be a father of many nations. But you know why he had to clear that up? Because he had lied to his daddy about who he was. Is anybody listening to me? You're going to have to straighten things out in your own life and figure it out. And sometimes God kind of directs us in a certain direction. But Jacob had to figure out that he had already lied to one daddy, and he couldn't lie to this daddy because this daddy already knowed everything. How you like that in Arkansas language? Isn't that awesome how God works? Jacob had to get things squared away. He had to realize who he was. I'm Jacob. I'm not Esau. I ain't nobody else. We've thought sometimes, well, I'd sure like to be like them. You don't know what they went through. You've not walked in their shoes. But back to Jacob. Man, this blessed me. Jacob had to clear up who he was. He had to realize who he was. And God said, because I'm going to name you Israel, because you're going to be a father to many nations. We have to get things cleared up. God wants you to identify with who you are, that it is His stamp of approval that He has put upon you, and it's His blood that has brought you to a place of restoration and fullness. You say, I don't feel like it right now. It ain't about feelings. It's about knowing what God's Word says, and you can come to the place to know, I don't care how I feel. It's what I know, and God's Word is true. Like God's Word is true. Jacob's brother. Well, verse number 11, the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him for the hand of him that was stronger than he. He has delivered him. Listen closely. Jacob's brother was stronger than he was. Ishmael, Israel's enemy was stronger than they were. Satan is ultimately stronger than we are. But can I tell you today, by the mercy and the grace of God, none of these foes are any match for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we are more than conquerors through Him that strengthens us. I figured you'd be shouting by this time. I know you're shouting on the inside, but you're just waiting to see what's coming next. Verse 15. Hang on. Be patient. It's all I like's finishing. And I'll try to hurry. I'm on page 3 of 13 pages. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I ain't got quite that many. Thus saith the Lord, a voice from Ramah. Lamentations, bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to comfort by her children because they were not. And the Lord, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope. Verse 17. And there is hope. Somebody say there's hope. There's hope even for me. There's hope even for me. In thine end, saith the Lord, thy children shall come again to their own borders. And their hope Their hope is thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own borders. Can I tell you today, if you've got a child or a grandchild out from underneath the ark of shelter and safety, I want you to know, I'd like for you to take this passage of Scripture, tap it out, put it on your refrigerator and say, I know by the mercy and the grace of God and the love of God, I've got a hope because my children, my grandchildren, my mom, my dad, my brothers and my sisters, they're coming back to their own borders. They're coming back to what they've been taught. I know by the mercy and the grace of God that God's Word is true and alive forevermore. I will declare God's Word to be true. I will stand upon that Word. I will let the devil know, and I will hark to the loud of the top of my voice that God is God and He will revenge His people. There's coming a day. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano, please. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. The Word of God tells us that weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. Christ tells us that there is a day coming when He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more crying or sorrow. He has confirmed His Word that those who hang on, those that will hold fast, those that will hope to the end will be rewarded. You can rest assured that it'll be with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's coming a day. I got to finish this right here. The Lord said, and I surely will have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Verse 21, listen. Listen to what God says. This is how merciful, how loving He is. Set up for yourselves highway markers. How many of you have ever been going down the highway and you notice those little highway markers? Never mind. Put up signs. No left turn, no right turn. Go straight, go left. Stop, yield. It'd be great if I was the only one who didn't pay attention to them. Nevertheless, He said, make yourself highway marker. Listen, God is merciful. God is gracious. He knows we're human. He knows we mess up. He knows that our faith can falter. Be real with God. He already knows. But identify where your weaknesses are, where your strengths are. But He said, would you just set up to yourself highway markers? Highway markers, what He's referring to in this passage of Scripture, highway markers, how to get back to Canaan. That was the promised land. God has promised us something much more than Canaan. Make yourself guidepost. Turn your thoughts and your attention to the way by which you went into exile, is what He's talking about. Remember, you come out of exile. Mark your pace. Mark your path and where you're going. Retrace your steps. And He speaks to them here in the form of a beginning. Thy virgin Israel, return to these your cities. How many knows that in Arkansas and Oklahoma, if you want to know where somebody lives, of course we have GPSs now, but most of the time in times past, is if I want to know where Brother Steve lived, he'd say, well, you go down 59 till you see a red sign, and at the red sign you turn right, go down 10 fence posts and turn left, and then you'll see a barn out there that needs a good paint job. Turn right there, go down to the second crossroad. All we got to know here is run to the cross. Just run to the cross. Run to the cross. Hallelujah. It's His blood that has paved the way for you and I to have life, and that more abundantly. Oh my, I wish I had more time today. He has guided you in times that you didn't even have a clue. You thought you was walking all by yourself. But He had His arms around you. even this moment, He's guiding you. He's guiding you. It's the Lord God that's calling you back. And perhaps here today you've never... I believe that the majority, if not everybody in this place, you're not backslid. You're just going through some rough times and you're not where you once was, and you're certainly not where God wants you to be. Hello? The Lord's calling you back. Israel came to Him in humility and sorrow, reaching out to God in repentance. And it is in this context that the Heavenly Father is urging for us to set markers and making the path clear to get back to where we used to be with God, and even greater. Can I tell you, like the prodigal son, he had to travel the same road to get back to Daddy's house. Daddy hadn't moved. He did. It was that same road that he had to travel to get back to Daddy's house. But it's that same road that will lead us back to that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, even greater. Even greater. Would you stand with me all over the building today? I want to declare to you there's markers for you to follow. There's a guidepost. There's landmarks for you to follow. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if there's one here today, under the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You haven't really experienced the atoning blood being applied to your life, being His child. I want you to know this morning there's no greater time than right now. If you're here today and you've got some issues you've been struggling with, you've been fighting with, you can't seem to get over the hump, there's no greater time right now to slip out of your seat, come to this altar and say, "Hey God, it's me. It's me." If you're here today and you desire a closer walk with God, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where God wants me to be. You got some things you need to talk to the Lord about and just say, "I want a deeper consecration, dedication and commitment to Him." You need to slip out of your seat and come to this altar and say, "God, I'm going to give you my all." Does anybody fit in those categories today? "God, I'm going to give you my all. I have faltered. I haven't quite come up to par." Hey, it don't matter if your chicken gets cold. This is more important. God desires for you to come back in full fellowship with Him. He desires for you to have that kind of fellowship with Him. So when I went to the altar last time, I wouldn't care how many times I went to the altar, as long as I knew that I was in God's perfect will. As long as I knew I was in God's perfect will. And I was pushing forward for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love You. We appreciate You, Lord, today. Thank You, O God, for those that have come forward, Lord, and humbly saying, "God, here am I. I thank God that I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what You really want me to be. So I come to You, O God. I'm casting all my cares, all my troubles, all my problems. Lord, we love You, Jesus. He cares for you. He loves you.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Somebody else, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of room.
In my Father's house.
Oh, in my Father's house.
There's a place.
There's a place.
For me. I'm a child.
I'm a child of God. Somebody come and pray with me that are at the altar today.
Who am I that the highest
slip out your will and lay your hand on their back? Believe God.
I was lost, but He brought me.
Lord, make me hungry for You, Lord. Make me hungry for You, God.
at last He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. Oh, while I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me.
But I
Christ is mine. Oh, glory, glory, oh, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. Well, I have been redeemed.
If you've been redeemed, turn around, give somebody a high five. And I'm looking for the hope that He has promised me. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you.